Welcome, everybody, to Studio B Live. I bet you've been wondering where we've been lately. And let me tell you, we have been super, super busy here, haven't we, David?
Yeah. Been good, though.
Well, we've just been spending night and day, it seems like, building boxes and painting boxes and shipping. And then our UPS shipping thing had glitches to it, and we had to get that all fixed. And we've sent our son out for supply runs. And then there was even something about our wood was coming in on a train, and they lost the train, or what was that?
Well, yeah, they said they didn't know what happened to the train, a train of wood. And it's like, well, I said to the lumberyard guy, you know, okay, this is not a hard thing. Trains only run on tracks. You can track a train. Surely you can find a train, you know.
Yeah, like where would it go? It would take a detour somewhere or get off and go someplace. So anyway, it took them days before the lumber finally showed up. But we have just stayed so busy. The phone has gone nonstop. And David has added a new feature to the website, in case you haven't picked up on it, and that is that you can order your bees online now. And a lot of people have already found that, even though we haven't actually publicized it or anything. So pulling bee orders off the offline. So
and queens, too.
And you can order queens online, too.
Oh, that's cool. So we've been doing a lot of those kinds of stuff. And then, in the midst of all that work, do you know what happened today? David has got a story to tell you all. Now listen to this.
Oh, I'm too embarrassed to tell it. That's silly.
Okay, well, then I'll tell it. So we're sitting there at the kitchen table, and it must have been right after breakfast, and the phone rings, you know, like it always does, and David picks up the phone and says, "Hi, this is David," and he's silent for a long time, and I'm thinking, boy, that person really has a has a lot they have to say. And, you know, and pretty soon he's like, "Well, yeah, no, yeah, no, well, I don't, you know," and he's walking around the house talking to this person. Finally, he gets off the phone. He goes, "Well, I have to go into town and do an interview." And I said, "Oh, really? Because, you know, that's not unusual for either one of us to have to go do a, you know, an interview with somebody about, you know, an article or a little thing on the local news or something like that." And he says something about Fox News. And so I'm saying, "Oh, okay, well, we have a local, you know, Fox News affiliate in the area." And I said, "Oh, you know, on their morning show." And he's like, "No, Sherry," he says, "I mean Fox News with Neil Cavuto." I'm like, "Oh, David, you're twisting my leg." And he's like, "No, they need to talk to me about this honeybee insurance that they're talking about putting into the stimulus package. So why don't you tell the story a little bit more?"
Yeah, so anyway, they sent a car out, and a guy picked me up and took me to a studio in Champaign-Urbana. And it was a live interview with Neil Cavuto. Is that how you say his name, right? Mm-hmm. Cavuto? And, you know, it's awkward doing those kind of interviews because you're sitting there in this real bright room with these lights shining in your face, and you're just looking at a kind of like a camera. You know, you don't really see the other guy you're talking to. You just have this little earpiece. So it makes it a little bit awkward. I've done radio, so I'm kind of used to that, but it's always, I do better talking to people, you know, face-to-face. But anyway, the question is, there's $150 million that, we think, we have all reason to believe that it's part of the stimulus package, but I tried to talk to senators, I was talking to Washington today and trying to find out information about what does this exactly mean, this $150 million, the little bits that I've read about it means that there may be money available to beekeepers up to 150. You know, I don't know if it was up to 150,000 or maybe the beekeepers only got 50 million. I don't remember the exact amount now. But anyway, apparently if you lose your bees to disease or adverse weather conditions, you know, the government would bail you out. So Neil was like, "Well, David, this doesn't sound like this is something that would really should be in there. What do you think?" You know, and of course I agreed with him. I'm not all that crazy about government help, and I stated on Fox News that, you know, I'd like to run my own business and succeed without government handout. And, well, you can watch it. It's on Fox. If you just go to Fox News, their main website, kind of scroll down to the bottom where the pictures are, there's a picture of me down there next to Rod Blagojevich, you know, the former governor of Illinois, and kind of embarrassing. But anyway, yeah, it was a nice. I went in there thinking, okay, no matter what he asked me, I'm kind of, you know, I'm going to try to really get a couple of things across. You know, the bees are in trouble. We need more beekeepers. And the bees are so important to America and survival. And so I got those across. He was, you know, sometimes they cut you off or they won't let you say certain things, but he was very gracious and he let me get those points in. And I even invited him to become a beekeeper. And I was flattered, you know, Sherry, he said in the interview that he called me a hardworking young man. And I think I might be older than him, but I don't know. It was kind of flattering to be called a young man. But it was a fun interview, and I don't know how many people saw it of our listeners. A couple of people have emailed me and said they, you know, saw the interview. But it was fun. I enjoyed it.
So we'll probably get a video link up to that on the website here in a day or two and let y'all look at it if you didn't have a chance to see it. But that was kind of a fun day, but that took a big portion of the day out.
It took
so
the whole day.
Took most of the day, and as time goes on we'll try to nail down exactly what they're talking about as far as honeybee insurance or what exactly it is that they're calling it. And we certainly, David, that's something that we certainly need. We do need honeybee research, and we do need some kind of warranty against some of the great losses that people have. But I think you were just talking about the fact that maybe that shouldn't be part of a stimulus package.
Yeah.
You know, does it create jobs, you know, for a few people? But anyway, you did an interesting little foray out to the bee yard this past week. The weather warmed up here. We're in Illinois, and the weather warmed up. I think it was up into the 40s. And you went out, and you were checking the beehives to see if, you fed them this week.
Mm-hmm.
So tell everybody exactly what you fed them and what you found out when you were out there.
Yeah, actually, I fed them, a couple of weeks ago? And, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. It warmed up one day a couple of weeks ago, so I went out there and I fed them, I guess what you would call fondant. I don't know. We made it ourselves, and it's similar.
Well, we made some of it, and then some of it we purchased, remember?
Yeah, that's right. We did purchase some. We purchased some from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody told me that's not economical, though. Was it pretty expensive for that fondant?
It was, I think it was $5 or $6 for 5 pounds.
Oh, about $1 a pound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's pretty expensive, you know, if you have 50 hives and you put a pound on a hive every 2 weeks. But anyway, we made our own out of confectionery or powdered sugar and some other. We put powdered sugar and we put honeybee healthy. Yeah.
Oh, honeybee healthy.
And kind of mixed that up together. And I made little patties. I put it on wax paper, poked some holes in it, cut some holes, and I went out to the hives on a nice day. It wasn't terribly warm, upper 30s probably. And, you know, I thought, well, some of the bees looked like they needed fed, and some of them looked like they had plenty of food. But nonetheless, I gave everybody a slab of this fondant. And I think it was a few days, I don't remember how long it's been, but it was Sunday when we went to church. We were driving out. And already the bees, we saw a couple flying around, and then we came home from church. It was a nice, calm day, and though it wasn't real warm, probably low 40s Fahrenheit. And then we noticed all the bees were coming out and taking potty breaks. And, man, I'll tell you what, I know this will sound terrible, but did they need to go potty?
Talk about yellow snow.
It was. And, you know, a lot of beekeepers now, I guess, beekeepers that fear Nosema, because Nosema sometimes, not always, but sometimes has the characteristics of dark bee poop all over the front of hives and top of hives, you know. So beekeepers now this time of the year look at it and go, oh my goodness, I got I got Nozema. And, you know, it's possible, but all it really means is the bees just had to wait a long time before they could go out and potty. So I would encourage beekeepers not to really start worrying about Nozema. I can't say this word right, but Nozema ceramia, you know, that's only a summer problem. You don't get that in the winter, and a lot of people think they have that, but that's just in the summer. And the typical Nozema that we get, you can get it in the winter time, but hey, don't worry about that right now. Let's just get our bees through the winter, and let's assume right now the spotting that they're doing on our nice white hives will just be over once they have some good fly days and kind of clear out their systems. But you know what? It's weird, Sherry, but that spotting, you know, we had that time when it was all over the store inside there once, but it was hard to clean up. But you know, on the hive, it eventually goes away. It seems like the rain, you know, washes it off, and the sun maybe bleaches it. You never see it again. You know how nice the hives look after they do that, and after a week or two, you don't notice it.
Yeah, I think it's that semi-gloss paint, too. It doesn't seem to stick to that. But now, tell everybody what you found when you... Was it Sunday that you went in there to look to see how much of that fondant that they had eaten?
You know, it was really hard to tell. I didn't really, you know... look very carefully, but they had not eaten very much of it at all. I would say, you know, it was pretty thick. I probably had it about, oh, 3/4 inch thick, and they looked like they were eating it from the bottom up, so it looked thinner. They weren't on top of it. It looked thinner, so it looks like they ate, you know, and thinned it out from the bottom side, because it's sitting right above the cluster.
Okay, now I've had I had this question that I asked David myself, and I think a couple of customers have asked us too, and they're wondering if this was time for pollen patties or the powdered brood builder. And you said no, that what they need right now is carbohydrates.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the bees are going to go all that crazy. We're kind of still in Illinois we're really typically, for all intents and purposes, in the middle of the winter. And though the queens are laying a little bit, like the Italian queens, they're not going to go crazy. There's not enough daylight for the queens to really lay a lot. So I don't think they really need the protein that they get from the pollen patties. See, they consume the honey for survival, you know, to eat and to exist. So they need that. And that's why we try to keep plenty of, you know, make sure your bees have honey or fondant. Fondant, we didn't describe what that is. If someone who's never heard of that term, it's like cake icing. In fact, that's what it is. It is cake icing on some more expensive cakes, like wedding cakes, maybe.
Yeah, it's one sheet, and I think it is more confectioner's sugar than whatever liquid ingredients mm-hmm. are in icing, so it makes it really, really stiff, so stiff that bakers are able to roll this icing out with a rolling pin, and then when they go to put it on a cake, they simply pick up the whole sheet and lay it on top of a cake and then mold it down. That's how stiff it is.
Mm-hmm. So it does work. It's not hard on the bees to digest. Let's put it that way. And the honeybee healthy, I think, is just a healthy additive that we put in there because it really brings that scent, that lemon scent the bees love, to where the food is, and they kind of gather around it more. And you actually had a chance to taste that yourself accidentally, didn't you, Sherry, the honeybee healthy?
Oh, yeah, I did. I got it on my fingers, and without thinking, I just licked them off. And you know, it just tastes like a pepperminty concoction.
So are you healthier now? Didn't really make you healthier, did it?
I might be. I have had a cold, and now I'm doing really good.
Well, we would never advocate taking honeybee healthy for colds. So let's dismiss that, huh? Okay. Alrighty. You got something else?
Well, and then I was going to say, then Sunday when we were going out, We noticed that there was a couple of hives that had a lot of activities, and then a couple of hives where nobody was coming out. And I thought that was interesting to mention to folks that you could have, you know, two hives side by side, And, you know, one, everybody's coming out and flying around, and we even had them out there sunning on the front of the hive, and then you'll have one right next door that, you know, everybody's still okay, but they, for whatever reason, have no intentions of coming out that door. And, you know, some folks might look at that and go, oh, my gosh, you know, there might be something wrong, and, you know, there might be, but, you know, as far as we could tell, everybody was still fine inside the hives. They just weren't coming out.
Yeah, and no, you know, the mystery's out on that one. I don't care who you talk to. No one's going to be able to give you a good explanation. There are just some hives that it gets 35 degrees. They're going to all kind of come out and take a potty break and go back in. And there are other hives that, man, until it gets to be 50, you're not going to see them. And it's funny because they all do great. They both have the same kind of success rate. But initially you might think, oh, something's wrong with one or the other because they're not acting the same. It has a lot to do not necessarily with a different race, you know, like, oh, that's the characteristic of a Russian or Italian or a Carniolan, but mainly just the bees themselves, maybe the size of the cluster. It could be the orientation of the hive, could be how much stored food they have, how they're able to, the difference of the internal arrangement of their hive that, you know, they just don't want to. They don't. Maybe they're like us sometimes. You just don't want to go outside today. Yeah, but they shouldn't worry about that. And you just have to wait and see. Well, Valentine's is coming up, Sherry, pretty soon on February the 14th, right?
Yeah, and I love flowers on Valentine's Day.
Well, won't be any until this spring, right?
Yeah, but there's this place. It looks like a house, and it's in town, and it says florist on it, and you can usually go in there and buy something even in the wintertime.
Yeah, Valentine's always kind of puzzles me. Is that when the woman buys something for the man, or the man? Oops, sorry, dropped the microphone here. Or is that when the man buys something for the woman, or the woman buys something for the man?
You got real excited there for a minute and just dropped the microphone.
Yeah.
No, I think it's when the man buys something for the woman.
I don't know. Why is Valentine's is about relationships? Come on, why can't they both get something?
No, I think it goes both ways.
Oh, it seems like it's more that, you know, you hear the guys, oh, I got to get my wife something for Valentine's Day. But do women say that too?
Yeah, they do. But I don't think you and I have done that for a long time.
Okay, it's just been me getting you something.
No.
I take you out to eat. We do something special.
Oh, we do something special, but we don't buy gifts anymore. We get, you know, we have Christmas, and then our birthdays are in January. We're tired of getting presents by February.
Yeah. You know, I'm still waiting on parts to come back for my Christmas present. That's going to be hopefully pretty soon. Sherry got me a remote control airplane, a F4 Corsair, and my first experience with flying, and so it was kind of like a rough takeoff and a broken engine mount.
Well, tell them how you took off.
No, I don't want to.
I will.
Oh, my goodness. Very quickly, because we need to stay on the beekeeping theme here.
Yeah, well, this goes in with honeybees very well. So he put out a big piece of tin out in the yard.
No, it was just some roofing. It's nice. It's nice. It's not just tin. It's some roofing that I haven't completed yet.
You're right. It was metal roofing that's supposed to go on our roof.
Before winter came
that didn't, because we just, you know, sometimes that's the way it is around here. And so he laid it out in the field because he couldn't run his plane down the gravel driveway or out in the bumpy field, so he laid out this big piece of metal, and poor David went to take off on his plane. It just crashed at the end of the runway and broke the motor mount on the end of it. I felt so sorry for him. He's just like one of those little kids at Christmas time that, yeah, you know, he got like, you know, I don't know, something, and he broke it the first time he used it. You should have seen the look on his face.
Well, you know, I did a forensic analysis of the airplane, and it wasn't my fault.
Oh.
It actually was a structural integrity problem that they admitted to, that when you rev it up to full throttle, it was a plastic motor mount that held the motor on it, and it at full throttle, it twisted off and broke. So I was going down the runway getting ready to take off, and barely got my wheels up, and the motor just kind of fell out of the front.
Oh.
So it wasn't a pile of hair.
Well, they said that they sent you a new one, and they sent me the tracking number, so hopefully you'll get it in the next 5 to 7 business days.
Did you get the tracking number?
I did. I got the tracking number.
Oh, because they've sent that to me, and it just says, your item has been prepared for shipping.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's USPS, and they usually don't update those until they're
until you've had
delivered
them about 2 weeks or something.
But we have here at our place, we ship out virtually everything UPS. And I'll interject, this is how this all works together in the honeybee business, how the plane, this is our segue into
transition.
Our transition and how it all works together, because we send out things UPS, and we've noticed that this time of year, somebody will order something, and the next day they'll be calling saying, where is it? So remember, folks, when you order something, you can expect it in 7 to 10 business days, although the secret is you usually get it. It usually goes out much, much sooner than that. But, you know, we say 7 to 10 business days. And you, if you give us your email address, you will be notified by UPS, Quantum Notify, when that has shipped. So you can be looking in your email inbox, and you should see, you know, that, I don't know, you might want to take a peek in your junk mailbox too, because sometimes that, you know, your email programs might look at that as spam, but that's usually where it's at. But rest assured, your hives are getting out to you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's you know, you had a visit from the we always talk about UPS and USPS, but you had a visit from USPS. Two ladies came down to see if they could get our business, right? From
Yeah.
And that didn't work out too good, did it?
No, unfortunately it doesn't. They can't do better than UPS for shipping our large boxes, so we will stay with UPS for now.
Yeah. Well, okay, so
But you should see, everybody should see what happened to that piece of metal roofing right now. It got run over by the four wheeler and now it's sticking straight up in the snow, all mangled up.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, it was out there, and I just left it, and then it snowed on it, and I couldn't find it. But in the meantime, the Schwann's truck drove over it, the trash man drove over it, the lumber
UPS
truck drove over it, UPS drove over it, and then my son finally found it with the snowplow on the four-wheeler and kind of crunched it. It's sticking up in the air now. Oh, boy. Oh, well. Life out in the country. Life on the honeybee farm in the wintertime. All right, Sherry. Hey, I got a little. I'm getting ready to publish lesson number 47. Believe it or not, 2 years younger than my age. Lesson 47.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to talk about in lesson 47, I thought would be cool. Did I say 47? Is that right, or is it 49?
You're 49.
Yeah, I'm confused about what the next lesson. No, I think it's lesson 47. I have to go with that. I'm pretty sure it is. But I was thinking, you know, sometimes we've had a lot of compliments of people calling and saying, I like your business or your site because, you know, you guys tell me exactly what to do. All the information's there. It's turnkey. I don't have to figure out where to get this, where to get that, where to get that. Because sometimes you do have to buy all your things from, you know, 5 different places. So I thought, okay, I've heard from a customer saying that they appreciated the fact that they can talk to us and know exactly what to do. But then as I thought about that, now that we have 47 lessons, I'm thinking, how does somebody really know what I'm supposed to do without reading 47 lessons? So I have, and I might share this now, if you can stay awake through it, I have this snapshot, so it won't take long. I'll try to be fast. Here's a snapshot for those of you thinking about getting started in beekeeping, or maybe you're not convinced, but you just like listening to us on the Internet. Because you're bored or something?
They would be really bored.
Yeah. Okay. So here it is. 5 or 6 little snapshots. Ready? Buy your equipment. It's called woodenware because the hives are made of wood. And I guess because the bees wear it. And it's called woodenware. And that's the hive equipment. Buy it. Our cost of a complete hive is $179. Assembled and painted, nothing to build, nothing to paint, and you should buy your hives now between January and May. The earlier, the better. Okay, number 2, buy your bees. bees are shipped through the postal service to you in a package. And so you receive a 3-pound package of bees. It contains 10,000 bees, about 3 pounds, and one queen. And the package is about the size of a shoebox with a screen around it for air ventilation for the bees, you know. And the package comes with a can of sugar water where the bees eat while they're being shipped to you. Typical cost of the packages that we ship out, including shipping to you, is $88. Bees must be purchased between January through April. And, oh, by all means, the earlier, the better. It ensures you'll get a package. Most packages sell out of fast. Of bees, they sell fast. So it's important to order your packages during the winter months, primarily January, February. Now, next, you need to buy your other supplies. So this is basic equipment like hive tool. That separates the frames and the hive boxes when you do your inspection. And then you need to purchase a smoker. And, of course, that puffs smoke into the hive so that you can calm the bees so you can do your inspection. And a hat and a veil. Now, we sell the hat and the veil, smoker and the hive tool for $75. And you should get that about the same time. Hey, you know, here's something to remember. You want your hat and veil before you get your bees. It just makes sense. And you want to have your hive ready before your bees arrive.
Before.
Because if you don't, we've had customers that said, oops, you know, they bought their hives from another place other than us, but they bought their bees from us. And they did a poor job of coordinating it or something, and their other people couldn't deliver the hives to them. We delivered the packages when we said we would, and they're like, what do I do now? I got your package, but my hives haven't arrived from the other place yet. And there's nothing you can tell them.
There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You can't put them in. It was a poor decision.
Well, and that's one thing that we excel at, is making sure that we coordinate that. If you buy the hives and the bees from us, we make sure that it all dovetails correctly. We can't guarantee that if you purchase one thing from us and one thing from another, which is perfectly okay, but we cannot coordinate that with somebody else. And I know last year there was a fairly major beekeeping supply producer that like ran out of wood or something. Do you remember that?
I guess maybe he lost his train too, huh?
Yeah, his train was lost too, and they could not. They were weeks and weeks and weeks behind sending things out, and people were calling us saying, "But my bees are coming! My bees are coming!" Or, you know, whatever. And we're like, "Well, we're sorry, we can't. There's nothing we can do to help you out with that." But when you buy them both here, we make sure that we can do that, and we have little secrets that other people don't know about to make sure that all fits together.
Oh yeah, we've alleviated some real bottlenecks for our operation. And wow, we are turning orders around almost on just a couple of days. Where last year this time we were like 2 weeks because of bottlenecks that we finally worked our way out of. All right, so let's see, number four. Once you have ordered all your... Well, let me take it back to number one. You've bought your equipment, your woodenware, the beehive. You bought your bees, and you bought your equipment, your smoker, hat, hive tool, and veil. And the next thing, number four, you need to review all the free online lessons.
And they are free. I actually had a woman that called me today, and she had a question about something, and I directed her to the online site. And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. That'll cost me a bundle. And I said, no, it doesn't cost anything. So why she thought it did, I don't know, but they're all free. You can read as long as you want.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could have said, well, if you feel like you have to pay, you could pay a buck or something, you know. No, they're free, and this is how you learn to get ready. Once you order your things, you have some time before everything arrives. If you do it now, and you can study, and especially study lesson number 7. It teaches you how to install your first package. And these are easy and easy to understand lessons.
And then number five, remember that we are your mentors. That every new beekeeper needs someone they can call or email with questions. And we're here to help you. And when you purchase your items from us, we'll be your personal mentor. Believe me, this is a huge sacrifice on our part with our time. But we do it because we appreciate your business. And we want our customers to feel comfortable working bees and, of course, to succeed in keeping bees. Now, we have never turned anyone away that has called to talk to us and ask questions that didn't buy from us. And that does happen. It happens quite frequently.
Oh, yeah. We have lots of people who say, well, I bought this from so-and-so, but, you know, they're either don't have the time or I can't get them on the phone or I don't know what, but, you know, can you answer the question? We're like, sure, we can answer the question. So, we do answer the questions as much as we can, regardless of where you buy your stuff.
Yeah, and certainly we don't make any money off that because we lose money because we're, I don't know if we lose money. We lose time, don't we, having to talk to someone who's not a customer. But, you know, we are concerned. We do care. It's not just about money. We're part of the beekeeping community, and we do want to help people. Now, Sherry, since it's Valentine's coming up, I thought it was a great idea to give a special to our customers about Valentine's. And I got to thinking, in lieu of this lesson that I'm going to publish here a little bit that I just gave all our listeners, how to, you know, a snapshot to get started real quick. They need something they can click on and not have to buy their bees, not have to, and then click on their supplies and then click on the hive. Just one click, get everything at once. And so
one click shopping.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, you know, since there's something with my name on it, and I thought it'd be special to have something with your name on it.
Oh, I was always jealous that you had your name on something.
Yeah, it sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? So I had to share it, you know. So I'm calling this the Sherry's Valentine Special.
Oh, I thought you'd name it like Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal Special. That sounds even better.
Yeah, maybe I will. Because Valentine's, I can't run it past Valentine's, right?
Well, from what I understood, you've lowered the price so much that you don't want to run it past Valentine's Day.
You know, that's probably true. I think that's what our strategy was. But we thought it'd be fun to offer the complete hive, all the supplies, the package of bees, and the queen for $314.
$314. Man. Yeah, you can't offer that but for a few days.
Yeah, that doesn't include shipping. So, it is a very good deal, and I was thinking, I think Sherry asked me, why would you want to do that? Because we are selling, you know, we don't have a problem selling things, and so why lower prices or give a discount? And here's why, because it's kind of a strategy for me that it might encourage people to buy now, not because we need the business, but because we need to spread the business out because if so many people will wait until March and April and May to buy their hives, that they get into this problem of their bees coming, they're wanting their hives to be shipped tomorrow, we get behind because everybody orders all at once. So it's just a strategy for me to maybe encourage people. It would help us so much if people began buying their hive equipment in the month of February. And so we thought this would be a good incentive to offer this discount for all three together at one time. And it makes sense, too. If someone is going to go to the extent to buy all three of these items from us at one time, then we'll treat them good, right? Yeah.
Yes, but only for a few days.
Yeah, maybe, we'll see. Huh?
That's right. This is our own little economic stimulus package for people.
There you go. Yeah, it might help. But $314 is a whopper of a deal.
Oh, man.
I mean, some places you can't even buy the hive for $314.
Oh, no, yeah. It's just awful how much you've lowered that price.
Well, like I said, we won't do it real long, but what do you want to start it? Well, we'll start it, what do you think about Friday?
Ooh, Friday's a good day.
Yeah. Is that different than Thursday?
No, it's just Friday. It's a fun day.
It is, isn't it? All right, let's start at Friday. So we'll start Friday. And people can call and say, hi, I want to take advantage of Sherry's Valentine's special.
No.
Or, oh, you want to change the name, really?
Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal special.
All right. It sounds like a cheeseburger and a fry or something.
No.
Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal special.
So they have to call in to order? They can't do that online?
Oh, there you go. Okay. Remind me and I'll put it online.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Yeah, because, you know, they're sitting up, you know, Friday night, 11 o'clock. They don't want to call us. They want to get online and buy it.
I wonder if I ought to put a picture of you on it with maybe a Valentine's heart.
Sure, that'd be fun.
All right. Shall I dig up a picture from when you were like
14?
Yeah, 23. I think the picture on our website favors us back. It was taken back when we were... It was a long time ago. When was that picture taken?
Oh, honey, that was only taken about 4 years ago.
That was when David Terrell graduated, right?
Yeah, and he's only 22.
Wow, okay. Maybe I look better than I thought I did. I thought I looked older now than I did in the picture on the website, but... Okay, well, yeah. So we'll put a picture of Sherry up there and Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal, and you guys can call and get some good specials in February to get going on your beekeeping year. I've had a ton of questions, Sherry.
You have?
Oh, yeah, and it's been good, but both by phone and by email, and I could spend the rest of my life on the Studio B Live broadcast answering email. I don't know what to do.
I think it needs to be the next broadcast will be just questions and answers.
All right. Let me deal. Oh, yeah. Let's listen to this one fella, and he called in and had some questions. And these are good questions, and so let's listen, and then we'll answer his questions.
Hi, David. This is Jacob Bergen from New York. My uncle has several old supers and hive bodies with frames he said I could have. In one stack, a swarm moved in about 3 or 4 years ago and made a home. He said I could have them if I wanted. I'm wondering how I should go about moving them. I don't think there was a bottom board, so I presume I need to put something underneath along with covering any hole. I'm wondering things like what temperature should I wait for and what time of day should I move them. Also, how heavy do you think they will be? Will I want someone there to help me? And also, what sort of protective gear should I expect to wear? Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hey, thanks for calling in, David. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to call in with a question like David asked. And we'd love to answer your question if you just call our Studio B Live line. Like David did, we'll answer your question. Before I answer David's question, let me tell you the number is 217-427-2430. And you can take about 30 to 45 seconds to ask your questions, and then we'll answer them on our next Studio B Live broadcast. Hey, good question, David. Looks like you have some bees that have moved into some old boxes, and you need to reposition those in a different area, or maybe even in a different hive box. And to answer your question, yeah, what you want to start out doing is certainly seal off that hive. But let's start with the time of day and when. Now, it's not clear to me right now. I can't remember if you mentioned where you live, but depending on the weather, you want to wait until the bees are able to fly regularly. I think I would never, let me think about that. I guess if it's winter where you are and the bees are inside, clustered, certainly you could move them now. You're going to have to, in fact, it might be a good time to move them. While they're all inside, you can just seal off all the holes. I think you mentioned there was no bottom board, but you could put a piece of plywood or something underneath the bottom, because when you move them, you may shake them up enough where they will want to come out and see what's going on. So seal up every hole. Fasten those hive bodies together. I prefer to use a piece of wood and then staple, like an air stapler. You don't want to go through the hive into the bees, but staple enough where you get a good bite where that wood won't slip off. And it keeps all your components together
Sometimes I use a tie-down strap around the whole high body and band it together, but it can still kind of slide apart even with tie-down strap. But whatever it takes to secure the hive, it won't hurt you to seal them off. Just, you know, you're thinking about air. If you seal them off where you're just going to move them, they'll be fine without any opening for an hour or so. And if you're going to do it in the wintertime, the time of day really doesn't matter. If they're clustered, they're not flying. If it's very cold where you're at, you can do it any time you want to. I would go ahead and wear gear, because if something tragic happens, like you hit a bump and you know your hives turn over and bees are everywhere, you will wish you had your gear on. So anytime you move hives, my philosophy is wear as much protection as possible, expecting the worst to happen. And if it doesn't, you're none the worse for it. If it's heavy, you're going to need help. Here's how we do it. We take a tie-down strap, put it around the hive. We take about a 10-foot, about a 2 or 3-inch diameter metal bar and lay it on the top cover on top of the hive. And we put our tie-down strap around that and crank it down hard, and then your pole acts as handles. It's on the top. It's the tie-down strap is holding it against the hive body. Two people can get on each end, and you can walk that hive anywhere you want to. That works out very well. Gear, you asked about help, time of day, cover everything you can. Now, let's say you're going to wait until spring to move it when they're flying. You got to wait till the evening. And then when they're all inside in the evening, that's when you want to seal all your holes up so they can't get out. Because if you move them during the day, you lose all your foragers. They're out working. You move the hive. They come home from a long day's work. And mama's not there cooking them a nice meal after a long day. They wonder what happened to the hive. All the foragers just, they're lost. They'll never find the hive again. And they'll just fly where the hive was and probably over a few days either die or beg their way into somebody else's hive. So don't move them in the daytime. There are ways to do that. I don't want to go into that right now. But typically the best thing to do, seal them up at night when it's dark, the hive's inside, and then move them early in the morning, the next morning, because they want to start getting out. And they'll find a hole. If you keep them pinned up in the middle of the day, they'll make a hole, I tell you what. So if you can get out there just about daybreak, before the sun's up, you can start moving them. And you can get those bees set where you want them, and then open them up. You should be good to go. Hey, David, thanks for calling in, and those of you listening, again, let me encourage you to call in. Ask your questions. We love to answer it. Your question helps others learn more, too. The number to call, 217-427-2430, is the line for Studio Bee Live Question Line. Well, that's all the time we have for Studio Bee Live today. Thank you for tuning in. And listen, here's our contact information. We love to hear from you. You can give us a call if you'd like to order that Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal special that we have. Start beekeeping. Get everything you need for $314 plus shipping. Call us. Our order line is 217-427-2678. That's 217-427-2678. And if you have a question for our Studio B Live question line, that number is 217-427-2430. Of course, our website is honeybeesonline.com, and you can always email us. Our email address is david@honeybeesonline.com. We look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, remember to behave yourself.